have to be your biggest fan. And when things are really tough and they're really rough and nothing's working, but there's something inside of you that says, I just have to follow that. Because you don't know who you're going to meet, who you're going to meet, who you're going to meet.
Hello and welcome to Better Days of myself, Georgie Crawford, and my friend and performance psychologist, Jerry Hussey. So we have had such a good time recording season two of Better Days, but there were so many big aha moments throughout the season. So I've decided to pull my favorite four and put them into an episode for you, so you have a place where you can go back and get inspiration and listen to some of the biggest moments of the season all in one episode. So before we get into it, I wanted to thank the Health Insurance Authority for supporting Better Days this season. The HIA gives you a great opportunity to review your health insurance plan, because without even realizing, you may be overpaying for health insurance, or you could be on a plan that no longer suits your health needs. The HIA is a government agency, completely independent, and they're not selling health insurance. Their role is to help you make an informed choice. You can use their free health insurance comparison tool to see what plans are out there and what might suit you better. You'll find all the information right now on hia.ie. So I wanted to start with a moment from Jerry where he's talking about lack, limitations, vision boards, and manifestation. This was a huge aha moment for so many of you. We got so much feedback on this episode. So I wanted to take the biggest moment from this episode and put it into a short clip so you can listen back.
So first thing is, we need to stop comparing ourselves. Firstly, stop comparing ourselves to other people, and then stop comparing our life to the life we thought we'd have. A lot of people say, you know, but I thought I'd be married by now. I thought I'd have kids. I thought I'd be promoted. And then we have to stop comparing who we are to the person we think we should be.
Yeah.
There's so many of us that have enough, but we're looking for more. And some level we're being fed by society or being fed by a subconscious program that we should have more and we should be more and we should. And the minute what you have becomes not enough, you are now in a world of lack and limitation.
And lack and limitation
can only create more limits, more limitation.
Whoa.
So the first step is stop comparing. We never know what other people are going through. The second is, ask yourself, where might I be comparing myself to other people? Where might I be comparing myself to a person I think I should be? And where might I be comparing my life to the life I think I should have? And then stop the shoulding. Your life is as it is. And the greatest predictor of how happy you will be in the future is how happy you are right now. Because happiness is a skill of being able to extract the most amount of joy out of the simple things as they happen moment by moment.
Interesting that you said, I could see the lacking, but it's actually limiting you. That's a really interesting point as well.
Yeah, and that's the danger with goal setting. A lot of people set vision boards, and the vision board is all the stuff I want to create. Well, if you want to create, it means you don't have it right now.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is you're looking at stuff you don't have, and therefore you're instantly saying my life isn't enough. I'll have enough when. I'll be enough when. So vision boards, when they're done in the typical way, actually create a lack limitation mindset, which is counterproductive. So what you should have is a gratitude board. And a gratitude board is one where you wake up in the morning and you literally count your blessings. You honour the amazing things that you have in your life. And that creates a sense of joy and a sense of abundance. Yeah. And now you are sending a frequency of abundance into the universe. And the world gives you more abundance. So when we focus on what we don't have, we're creating a lack limitation frequency. When we focus on what we do have, and we create that frequency of abundance, the world gives us more.
Oh, that's so interesting, because I think, you know, for so many people, it's when they get sick that they realize that they have enough. And, you know, you speak about the outer world and the inner world. And before I got sick, I lived in the outer world. Why am I not getting this promotion? Why aren't I as successful as that person? Why don't I get paid that much money? Why am I always struggling? I got sick. I realized I had absolutely everything that I needed, which was my family, you know, love, support. And then I was able to create a successful business because I finally could see that I was enough.
It's exactly it, Georgie. And even, you know, health and happiness, you know, of course they go together. There's a lovely expression that says, when your body is well, you have 1,000 problems. When your body's not well, you've only one problem.
Oh my God.
I let that sink in. When your body's healthy, you have 1,000 problems. When your body's not healthy, you've only one problem. So in my life, I have a classification system, a problem and a challenge. A problem is something to do with health or someone I love. There's people who are going in to say goodbye to a child. I know people recently that were literally told in a matter of hours, you need to say goodbye to your children. That's a problem. Most people who think they have problems don't have problems. They have challenges. Or it's something else. So the first thing is, what is a problem? What's not a problem?
Yeah. Oh God, that's so interesting.
Another lovely question is, when did enough not become enough? One time in my life, I used to say, I hope someday I can be free from anxiety. I hope someday that I'm not worried about having a panic attack every day. I hope someday I have a job that I love, that I get to earn, you know, enough to have a nice lifestyle, own my own home, have enough to eat. I hope someday that I will get married to someone I love. I hope I'll have healthy kids. That's a lot of hopes. That's the lotto. There's a lot of people that can't. So I hope I get rid of my anxiety. I hope I find a job that I love. I hope I get to marry someone I deeply love. And I hope to have health. That is the lotto. That is the dream wish list. And I got all of those. And most people have all of those. And yet there's some days I wake up, Georgie, and I'm angry because we didn't sell more tickets. Or things aren't moving quick enough in the business. And someone needs to give me a slap in the face every now and again.
Yeah.
And say, when did enough not become not enough?
Oh my God.
So there's problems and there's challenges. And there's inconveniences. So first thing, when you look at something, your car breaks down, you lose your job, there are challenges. Your event doesn't sell, your book gets rejected, you have a row with somebody, your presentation goes terrible. That's not a problem. That's not even related to a problem. So now you begin to realize, when I can start each and every morning by counting my blessings, by asking, when I was 8 or 10 years old, what was it that I dreamed of? And most people have that. And now we want more and more. The question isn't, I need more. The question is, what is the need in me that's unmet? What is the belief system I still haven't dealt with? So it's not about I need a promotion or I need more money or I need the yacht or I need the house. It's what do I think those things would make me feel that I can't feel now? And Joe Dispenza has this incredible idea when he talks about visualizing. He said, you should visualize not from the head, but from the heart. And you should feel those elevated emotions as if you have them already. So now you're living. So he says, think of the thing you want most in life. A book that's after selling 1 million copies. A promotion. You've fallen in love. You've just found out you're pregnant. How would that make you feel? Then feel like that now. And see what happens. Your life goes in the direction of stories you tell yourself. Yeah. Everything in your nervous system and your subconscious program and in your brain chemistry is listening to every word you use. And it's either moving you forward and giving you the courage to lean into it, as Brené Brown would say, or it's repelling you back saying, that's too big, I can't do that. The ultimate state to live from is a place of peace and gratitude. Mm. Peace with what is, and gratitude, you live in the gratitude as if it's already happened.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing. So it's not like I'll be happy when. It's like I'll be happy now. And when that happens, I'll continue to be happy. When you say I'll be happy when, your subconscious say, because I'm not happy now.
Yeah.
I'll be enough when, because I'm not enough now. So you're creating that lack of limitation. So you wake up in the morning, you look at your vision board and say, it'll be great when I get that. What you're saying is because now is miserable. So vision boards and some of these people talking about manifestation, they haven't a clue what they're talking about. They don't really know the science behind what they're talking about. Because the more you focus on what you don't have is the more you miss what you do have. And you're actually living in a lack limitation mindset. And then the great thing Dispenza says, and he was challenged, someone says, but if I'm living in the elevated emotions, as if I've already achieved it, well, then I don't need it. And Dispenza says, exactly.
Yeah.
So why would you chase your life living it? Now, if it happens, fantastic. And if it doesn't, it sure doesn't make a bit of difference. So how many times, and let the listeners ask themselves this question. One time ago, we were doing a leave insert. How many people said, "When if I get the points I need for college, I will be happy"? Did you get them? Did it make you happy forever? Then you went to college, said, "I hope I get on well with college." You get on well at college, you got your degree. Did it make you happy forever? Then you went for the job interview and said, "I'll be happy when I get this job." Did you get the job? Did it make you happy forever? Then you said, "When I get promoted, I'll be happy." Did you get the promotion? Did it make you happy forever? So what makes you happy forever? As long as your happiness and your identity belongs to something outside of you or belongs to something in your future, your present is full of limitation and lack. You're needy. When you have no need for something, it's like, imagine playing poker, and I don't play poker, and I have a no gamble rule, but I love the guys who play poker. When you've someone, let's say me and you were playing poker and we're 500 euro on the table each, and I desperately need that 500 to pay my bills. I desperately need it, and I'm sweating and I'm panicking and it's written all over me. I'm now in a needy position. You're sitting there and you're playing with someone else's money and you don't really care.
Yeah.
You're going to win because you're going to see the fear in me. And you're going to call my bluff. It's when we're chasing something, it becomes more powerful than we are. When you no longer need something, it comes to you. That is the law of manifestation. The law of manifestation is when you become the person who generates the frequency that is equal to the thing you want, it comes to you. We don't chase, we attract.
I absolutely love that from Jerry. Now, moving on to grief, guilt, and moving on, this was a moment I know that connected with so many of you.
No relationship is perfect. So if someone has passed away and your last words were uncomfortable, if there was something you said you wish you didn't, you have to forgive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if someone loved you, they'd forgive you. So the first question is, what does be living my life look like? That might be a first I have to forgive myself for the time I spent with them, for the time I did spend with them. Then asking, if they love me, which I'm sure they do, and they knew how hard I'm being on myself right now, what would they say to me? And then the lovely question is, the person that has moved on, what might their wish for me be? And it's probably be happy.
I love
think that. About think about your own children. You know, for us, any of us that are parents, you know, please God, we'll all move on before our children. And what would you wish be for your children? And I said, yeah, you'd love us. You'd love them to miss us for a little while. But then just be happy. Just be happy. So if your mum has passed away, regardless of what was said or wasn't said, or regardless, she would just want you to be happy. And the greatest fulfillment of her would be to be happy. Because with all the worrying and all the late nights and all we do for our children, our greatest wish is that they can be happy. So by returning to your life, by allowing yourself to find happiness again, that's the greatest gift you give a parent, living or dead. So if you want to pay homage, if you want to fulfill their dream, it's just be happy. That's all they wanted for you. And anything that is stopping you from being happy is stopping them from the wish that they deeply had for you.
Yeah.
So that's the recovery road. It's not just knowing that you deserve happy to be happy, but the person that died would want you to be happy. And it would weigh heavily on them if they thought that their life and their death was the thing that caused you most pain. So it's that courage to step forward and say, okay, in all the love they give me and all the moments we shared, the greatest thing they would want for me is to be happy. So I'll do that.
A short break to mention our sponsor, the Health Insurance Authority. If you're anything like me, you might be renewing your health insurance policy year after year without even thinking about it. Well, it's time to take your plan and your health into your own hands. If you don't shop around, there's a good chance you're either paying more than you need to, or you could be missing out on benefits that could really support your health right now. The Health Insurance Authority offers a free tool that makes health insurance comparisons, covering every plan on the market. Head over to the website hia.ie where you can explore your options or get support by phone or email. Up next from Jerry, the GAA story that got so much feedback. It is so funny. We absolutely loved this chat. But say in your life, there is somebody that you can see has so much potential and is in this comfort zone. Is there any way that you can give that person a kick up the arse, or do you have to come to that realization yourself?
Ultimately, you can challenge, you can question, you know, you can ask, you know, God, you have so much potential. Why would you not? Or have you ever considered? And you can probe and you can ask. Ultimately, the hard work is going to be them. And some people are just happy being comfortable. And we can't be more ambitious. Like, I went into a team once, right? And it was a county team, and they had, you know, just been, you know, beaten in a competition, but they had this huge potential. So I went in, first time to meet them, didn't even get to talk yet. And the manager came in, he's kind of laying out the law. He said, this is how we're going to train. We're going to train this. We're going to do this. We're going to lay out this. And it was a heavy, heavy schedule. And he was saying, these are the amount of sessions. And then one player was like, well, how do I find the time for all these sessions? The manager said, I've no idea. And I don't really care. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to win in All-Ireland. And if you're interested in that, you'll find a way. And if you don't bother. He said, no one's compelling you to be on this team. And then the team started having this thing. And one of the things he brought up was around alcohol. So they wanted to know about this alcohol ban. Well, what does that mean like? Well, he was kind of saying, look, we have to have little periods. And then the conversation was, well, like, what if I'm at a wedding? Well, if I say, I have my brother's wedding coming up and I have this. And then you might say, okay, well, if it's a wedding, okay. Now, then the conversation was, if it's a wedding of a family member, if it, right, this is where it's going, Georgie. And I'm sitting there, right? And then the next thing was, well, what if it's 21st? I stood up at that point and I'd never met them. I'd never spoke to them. I just was standing there, brought in as their new psychologist. I stood up and said, lads, I'm fucking out of here. You're wasting my time here.
I've sat here, we're an hour and a half into the conversation, and the last fucking 20 minutes has been about alcohol. Not about fucking winning. Not about learning. Not about growing. Why are we having this conversation? What are you thinking about? So I said, if anyone can show me why drinking alcohol takes you closer to winning an Ireland, otherwise we're in the wrong place. Walked out the door. That was probably 15 years ago. They've never won an All-Ireland since. And they'll never win an All-Ireland. Because they just all ranked the wrong shite. Wrong conversation completely. Where you walk into another team and they're saying, Jerry, can you review our meditation practices? Can you analyse how we analyse our opposition? Can you figure out, is there a tweak we can make to our diet? They're saying, can we buy sleep pods so we sleep better? So like, some people are just waffling. So what I learned from that was, I went in there full of ambition. I went in thinking, these lads deserve to win an All-Ireland. These guys deserve, you know, to get over that pain. They fucking deserve nothing. Nothing. Because they're not interested in it. They're happy being the nearly-rans. They're happy, actually, we'll give it another whack. And what they were terrified about is doing something different. Wow. So we just kind of keep doing the same thing. So ultimately, you can't be more ambitious for people than they are themselves. So they might have all the potential, but do they even want it?
A short break to mention our sponsor, the Health Insurance Authority. If you're anything like me, you might be renewing your health insurance policy year after year without thinking about it. Well, it's time to take your plan and your health into your own hands. If you don't shop around, there's a good chance you're either paying more than you need to, or you could be missing out on benefits that could really support your health right now. The Health Insurance Authority offers a free tool. It makes health insurance comparisons covering every single plan on the market. Head over to the website hia.ie where you can explore your options or get support by phone or email. It's funny that you say that because I heard Joanne McNally, you know, the Irish comedian Joanne McNally, She set a record in Ireland, sold out like 80 Vicar Streets, has announced a new tour. And yesterday I was talking to somebody who went to see her with a group of 20 people as she practices her new jokes. Now, you would think somebody who could sell out Vicar Street, who has no problem selling tickets, she could so easily become complacent. But she's out there in the small clubs, practicing her new show. Even with Tony Robbins, you see him still to this day bouncing on his little trampoline before he goes out on stage. Like, that's excellence, isn't it?
That's what it takes. An athlete once that was number one in the world, consistently number one in the world. And then eventually they changed their entire technique. And they went through 3 years of losing and just disastrous performance, tweaking and testing. And eventually they came back. And after 3 years of rebuilding their technique, now they started to win again. So finally they're back winning and the commentator says, oh, congratulations, you know, it's great to see you're back. It's great to see, like, where the hell did you go? So that he said, well, I was rebuilding my technique. I was rebuilding this. I had to analyze, I had to rebuild, and it was a really tough 3 years. I would change my system, I changed my, you know. And he might say, but like, why did you do it? It's because I knew I could be better. He said, but you were world number one. And the athlete said, yes, but I knew I could be better. Wow. He wasn't doing it to be world number one. He wasn't doing it to beat other people. He was doing it to see how great he could be. So when your life is built around one question, in this short, beautiful life, if I stop waiting for the perfect time, if I stop waiting for permission, if I didn't care about the outcome and I wasn't worried about what it looked like to other people, what would I do? Then go do that. Because all of these people, every athlete that I see, and I'm back in now with another county team and they're phenomenal, there's no guarantee. They wake up every morning, they look themselves in the mirror, They ask, how do I get better? How do I grow? How do I change? They go to the well every single day. They dig deep every day with no guarantee that it's going to be enough. But ultimately, what they want to find out is, how good am I going to be? So you have to stop looking left, looking right, waiting for permission. There's nobody holding you back. If you want to do it, do it. Or don't do it. That lovely expression, do or don't do. And then if you do it, as Matthew McConaughey says, don't half-arse it.
Mm.
There is nothing worse than seeing someone half-arse something. Whether it's, if it's a painter or someone doing, I hate to see someone half-arse. Do it and do it right and give it your all. Because here's the thing. Failure is not arriving at the top of the mountain. Failure is sitting in your house when you're too old to even attempt to climb the mountain and wondering what could have been.
Oh, it's so good from Jerry. Isn't it just proof that we don't get handed our dreams on a plate? We have to make things happen for ourselves and put in the hard work. Now, on to, I suppose, one of the biggest moments from season 2 on resolving conflict. And this really spoke to people when Jerry said, let the other person speak until their heart has emptied.
Even my own experience when I've fallen out with people, or even, you know, I've become a bit estranged from some of my family members. And even though there was no obvious, we never had a fight, we never had argument, but there was an uneasiness, there was a tension, or when we were together, there just wasn't that spark that should be. And you could either let that go and let that fester and then always wonder what if. So for me, it's at times being very uncomfortable. And driving up to their house, not knowing if they're going to let you in or what you have to talk about. And they open the door and it's like, what are you doing here? And it's like, I just came for a chat. And the chat leads to a cup of tea and it's kind of a random chat about the weather for a while. And then the sweat comes out through me, like, am I going to have this conversation? Am I just going to keep talking? And then I said, no, I'm going to do this. So then you say, look, I'm very aware that our relationship isn't where it needs to be. And I could easily not address this and leave it, but I would love to have you in my life in a really meaningful way. We spoke about meaning later. Is that something you're aware of? And is that something you'd be curious about? And then, like in my case, you know, whether it was a brother or a sister, you know, they said, yeah, I'm aware we're distant. And I don't really understand what you do at times. And I am carrying a bit of anger. And I've had one or two sisters where we just had incredible conversations. And the one that probably we were angry at each other most over a cup of tea, we just heard each other. And I think that's the most important thing, is you have to go to the person who maybe is annoying you most. And when I actually listened to my sister, when I listened to her without the need to defend myself or explain, I actually realized, God, there's a great deal in truth in what she's saying. And I just never saw it from her side. And then as she said that, I saw the pain it was causing her. And I'm like, my God, whether I meant it or not, or whether it was my fault or her fault, very quickly, it wasn't just a brother and sister having a cup of tea. It was two wounded people who were sad. And then she heard me. And at the end, she said, yeah, I never really heard it that way before. So then I think both parts have to feel. So you have to be willing to hear the other person completely without trying to butt in and say, yes, but. And, well, and from my side, there's a lovely expression, I think it's from the Hindu tradition, that says, let the other person speak until their heart has emptied. So sit there and just take it. Suck it up. It doesn't matter what they're saying is right or wrong. Don't come back with a but. Well, let me reframe this. Or how about me? Because it's not about you. So listen to them. And what we realize is the hurt every behavior a human being or a child expresses is simply they're trying to show you a need. So when you sit with the person as they tell their story, as they express themselves, ask, what is the need they're trying to show me? So we had an amazing conversation. And then once we heard each other's completely, we realized we can't change the past. So would you be open to having a relationship with me in the future? What might that look like? How do you need me to turn up a bit more different? And I'd say over the years, I'm so lucky that, you know, people that had kind of fallen out of my life or relationships that had become lukewarm, with a little bit of conscious effort, I've rebuilt them incredibly. So it's not about let's go back to the way it was, because the way it was didn't work.
Yeah.
It's not going to work in this new life. The question is there an honest, open door that's an invitation to a whole new relationship? But it, as I said, it has to be mature. It's not about blame. It's not about the past. It is about, can we move forward in a way that is a real mature relationship between two people who both want it to work? I love that expression. I said it earlier. There is a field beyond fear, beyond blame, beyond judgment. And if you're willing to go there, I will meet you there. So it's not about the past anymore.
I hope you enjoyed that recap from season two. You know, this season meant so much to myself and Jerry. We absolutely love recording podcasts together. I think we bring out the best in each other. We have a laugh along the way and we really speak about the important things in life, and we absolutely love doing it. So thank you so much for tuning in. We won't leave it as long until we're back with season three. We appreciate the support and the feedback as always. Thank you so much for listening. Big thanks to the HIA.ie for all the support, and we'll see you really soon.
Something inside of you that says, I just have to follow that, because you don't know who you